Hi everyone, this is AJ Mithen and welcome to a very special episode of A Sporting Discussion. Now I'm flying solo for this one because regular co-host Andrew Donison is off on top secret assignment getting some things organised for some shows later in the year. More info is going to come out about that on our Twitter at @ASD_radio or facebook.com/sportingdiscussion. Keep your eyes peeled, there's some good stuff coming. But never mind that now. We've got a very special episode, and very special episodes call for very special guests. Now, I had a chat with Georgia Yeoman-Dale, who's played for the Matildas. She's playing with Western Sydney Wanderers in the W League, and right now she's appearing on your television, your phone, your iPad, whatever device you use to look at Optus Sports coverage of the FIFA World Cup currently on over in France. Had a great chat to Georgia about the World Cup, about the W League, about better coverage for women's football in Australia, and a whole bunch of other things. It's quite an interesting chat, and I really hope you enjoy it. Here you go. Georgia Yeoman-Dale joins me now. Welcome, Georgia.
Thank you. Thanks for having me.
Now, you are talking to us on behalf of Optus Sport for the 2019 Women's World Cup. Tell us about what you're doing with them.
Yeah, so Optus Sport for this Women's World Cup are covering all 52 games of the World Cup, which is really exciting, and I'm part of the broadcast team. So one of the pundits for the games trying to act or as an expert on the panels at pre-game, halftime, and post-game, just trying to add to the viewer experience.
And how have you found it? Have you found being in the studio and watching all the games and being called upon to instill your knowledge on us all? I've been watching a bit too and learning quite a lot.
Yeah, no, I'm really enjoying it. Having a lot of fun with it. We've got a great team together for the broadcast, so having a lot of fun, enjoying watching all the games and really being in the thick of it.
Yeah, I can imagine. Now, what are your early impressions of the tournament? We're just, for those listening on podcast, we're approaching the Matildas' third game against Jamaica, but most of the groups are into their third games now. So what can you tell us about what you've seen so far?
Yeah, so we've started the third round of all the groups, started that last night, so group stage coming to a close, and we're starting to see who's going to progress. But for me, the quality's been really good. There's obviously, you know, some differences in teams. You've got the teams who are at the top of the world stage, and then you've got some progressive teams. But generally, the games have been really high quality. A little bit of controversy around the VAR, but, you know, it gives us something to talk about. Between the USA, France, England, the Netherlands, we've seen some pretty good football and some highly talented players showcasing their skills. So it's been very entertaining.
Yeah, that's true. VAR, geez, how about it? Aussie football can't seem to shake it, can we? Whether it's an A-League game or a World Cup game, male or female team.
Yeah, it's hard. It's one of those things you love and you hate at the same time. And if it's going well for you, you're a big fan. But then at the same time, there's a bit of a way to go with it. It's still for me, it's slowing down the game a little bit too much with. It takes a long time to make decisions, and that favours teams who aren't trying to play quick football. And as the way that the Australians play football, the way the Matildas play football, is trying to draw on their fitness. And when we're slowed down by VAR, that makes that a little bit difficult.
Yeah, that's a good point. Let's talk about the Matildas then. One, I won't say shock loss, but it was a loss to Italy 2-1 in the first game. And then an outstanding come-from-behind 3-2 win over our traditional rivals, if you want to call it, in the women's game, Brazil. How have you seen it's been chalk and cheese, the two performances, but it's also kind of been – there's been a lot of different tactics employed by Ante Milicic, the coach, hasn't there?
Yeah, it appears that way. Part of me wonders how much was it tactical, and how much was it that the team on the day just got it wrong. In the first game, we did struggle a little bit against Italy. I think that there would have been a few first-round nerves, which we did see across the whole competition. But yeah, definitely didn't play to our potential, which I think everyone was a little bit disappointed with, and no one more so than all the girls over there. And then we saw them really turn it around in the Brazil game, to come from behind a 2-0 down in at the start, and then to come from behind was a great fight back, and it really showed that never say die attitude that we always talk about with the Matildas. And it definitely gives us positives to take into the third game tomorrow morning.
Yeah, and that, like I said, that'll be against Jamaica, and we expect the Matildas to do the business there. Now, after the Italy game, Georgia, there was obviously a fair bit of criticism, not just in the Optusport studio, but out in social media land where the world's not real and everyone's a clown. How hard is? I mean, you've played for the Matildas, you've switched teams in the W League, you've played all around the place. How hard is it to shut out outside noise like that? Whether it's from people who are in positions of respect, so to speak, like commentators or anything like that, or just journos or your grunt on social media having a swing. How do you blank all that out?
Yeah, look, it is tough. And especially for some of these girls who, you know, the exposure that they're getting has really increased over the last 2 years. And that's, there's the positive side of that. But with the positives comes an increased amount of scrutiny when things don't go well. And it doesn't always go right in football and in sport. So you've got to expect that. And then these girls are learning to sort of deal with that scrutiny. A lot of people are saying that you've just got to not listen to it, which is, you know, easy to say, hard to do, because as humans, we definitely always focus on the negatives, and especially as elite athletes, we have to focus on those negatives and the things that we need to improve. But to take that feedback to heart when, as you say, it is coming from clowns, it's hard to do as well. And then just shutting it out for some of the big name players like your Sam Kerrs and the coaches and some of those players who are getting interviewed. Those interview questions are framed in a way that are negative, and you pick up on that. So it is, as I said, it is really difficult to shut out. Something that these girls need to work on going forward in their careers. And it was just good to see that they were able to bounce back in that Brazil game, and it didn't sort of contribute to spiralling this tournament.
Yeah, particularly after copying the second goal. Just a bit more on field matters. The defence, Matilda's defence, has taken 4 goals in the 2 games so far. They've never been past the quarterfinals, and that's the spot where things really tighten up and you get a 1-0 result, or you've got to go to penalties, or you've got to hold out in half an hour of extra time. Do you think there's the defence, you've touched on it just before, do you think they can tighten things up in time for the knockouts? Because I don't imagine there'll be too much of a challenge from Jamaica, but going forward, I mean.
Yeah, look, going forward, you're bound to come up against some high-quality teams to progress from your group. You've got to be good. There are obviously things that you need to tinker with, and that's, I think, with many performances across the tournament, people are going to be looking at things that they need to improve. But when we look at the 4 goals, you look at the ones against Italy, you've got a turnover by Claire Polkinghorne, which very uncharacteristic. So it's hard to find a way to stop that from happening again, because it is just it's an error, and that comes with football. Then you've got the late free kick, which for me, you can't give away a free kick, especially that late in the game. It was just silly. And then Lydia had a bit of a shocker on that one.
Speaking of uncharacteristic,
caught out of position.
One of the best goalkeepers in women's football.
So she would have been disappointed with that one, but again, it's something you'd rather get out of in that first game than when we're progressing in the group stage. And then you go into Brazil, there's a pen. And then their second goal was another turnover. So it's another player mistake coming out from the back. So in that first game against Italy, we kept talking about that back line being high and that we were getting caught out, which we were, but we didn't actually cop any goals from it. So as I said, there's things to look at, things to improve, which the girls are always doing, is trying to improve game to game. But I wouldn't be too concerned with the four goals that we've conceded just based on how we've conceded them. It's not necessarily been from anything too tactical. It's more just individual error.
Yeah, that's a fair call. I suppose in the Italy game, for all the criticism, the Italians did get caught out offside quite a few times, which I guess was the idea. So that was working okay to a point, I suppose.
Yeah, no, it was. For me, I didn't like it because it's risky. There was a few of those calls where it's very, very marginally offside and the ball played any earlier, they're onside and they score. So I don't think that we were necessarily trying to play that. It was just that we were caught out and they definitely, you could tell in that second game that they've gone away, they've looked at the video, they've figured out what they've done wrong and they've got it right in the game against Brazil.
Yeah, that was a good sign, especially their Brazil game. Now, that brings me kind of around to preparing for the World Cup or a major tournament or even an interstate team. When everyone comes from such a different team with different playing styles and a different background, I guess you throw all that together for a Matildas training camp plus a new coach. And there were some early learnings to be done. I think there were 10 goals conceded in the three games, including Italy, friendlies against the US and the Netherlands as well. But it seems that things have settled down somewhat.
Yeah, it was a tough start to the year for the Matildas. Big shake-up with, you know, Stadge leaving and then Ante coming in, which, you know, for any team when you've got that big change of coach, it's a struggle to adjust to. And then you look at how the players are coming in from different clubs, a lot of them in the US, but not training together. We do have the W League that everyone was playing in, so a little bit of consistency there, but again, you're not playing with each other. If we go back a few years leading into the Olympics, we were all in camp every second week for about 6 months leading into that tournament. So there was that familiarity with each other, which the girls have missed a little bit leading into this World Cup. But at the same time, things were so positive in that Brazil game that it kind of appears that it's come together at the right time, and you'd rather it coming together and you're peaking going into the knockout stages than peaking before and then plateauing or anything like that. So, you know, if this is us peaking and we're going to continue that, then the games leading in, it doesn't matter. You know, they're friendlies, and that's where you're flushing out things that you need to fix up. So hopefully moving forward that we just keep improving, which we have seen game by game.
Yeah, it's a good point you raise about growing into the tournament. We've seen in men's and women's World Cups, world champion teams don't often get off to the greatest start in a tournament, in tournament play. They realise that the business end is where they need to be and they do enough to get through. I think maybe, I don't know, maybe your casual Aussie sports fan needs to relax a little bit early on and it's play the longer game for something like a World Cup.
Yeah, I think so. But as Aussies, we're all passionate about football. We get really invested in our Aussie team. So when they lose, as fans, we feel it. And then sometimes we express that
especially in football,
ways of disappointment. Yeah. So
it's either a catastrophe or the greatest thing in the world, isn't it? There's no
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. And I just hope that, you know, all the fans stay on board, because these Matildas it's a good team and they're really going to push to continue through this tournament.
Yeah. Let's think a little further beyond this tournament and focus maybe on the W League. You've said that the quality of the teams and the games in this World Cup have been fantastic. The good, the best teams, especially, we'll take the US, for example, have been incredibly high quality in their play. Is the W League still a good proving ground, training ground for Aussie women who want to play in the Matildas and win World Cups? Do you think what could be done to make the W League a bit better?
The W League's improving year on year. It's still a league that is growing, and it is only a 12 round competition with finals. So it's developing, and it's the quality isn't probably where it needs to be to be competing with the likes of the USA and France and England, who have really big leagues that all of their players, or you know, a really good percentage of their players, are playing in those leagues. And even you look at the France team, and I think there's something like 11 players all from the one club, so they're getting to play with each other, you know, all throughout the year. I think with the W League, the thing that it is good for is developing the future of football, which, looking even on to the next World Cup, you've got 4 years, so you need to be developing the younger players, which when we have these Matildas coming back and playing in the W League, and you're playing with the younger girls who are going to be the next cycle of Matildas, that's where it's important. For the current Matildas going overseas and playing in the leagues like the USA, where a lot of them do play, is where they can kind of start to push themselves a little bit more. But yeah, I think the W League has a way to go. But at the moment, it is a good platform for the younger girls coming through and their development. It's not long enough for being only 12 weeks. So you would like to see it.
12 weeks is no time for anything, is it?
No, it's not. It's not. When you know, to play 12 games in a year, it seems ridiculous. And then for a lot of these players to be going back to play state club football, which is even a bigger step down from the W League. So if we're developing, if we want to develop a large group of players coming through, we need to develop that league, because we can't be expecting all of our players to be able to go over and play in other leagues. And the one thing that the US do really well is their college system. So they're developing such a large number of high quality players coming through. So they've got so many people to pick from, whereas we don't have that line of development. And that's where I think a lot of the focus needs to be going forward.
Yeah, it's a good point. We don't have that line of development, but we also don't have the depth of coverage that a lot of other countries have, particularly for women's football, and I'm talking particularly W League here. Have you got any thoughts on what needs to be done to make women's football more visible? Because all the participation rates are there, the club numbers are there, but I'm talking more at the higher level.
Yeah, look, it's a big thing about, for me, the chicken before the egg. So many people want to talk about the quality of the game needing to improve before the coverage comes along. But you look at the likes of Optus Sport and what they're doing for the game as a corporation, and gifting the World Cup to all school students so that the next generation can watch females playing on the world stage and really inspire them to want to be that next generation of players coming through. So you need big corporations buying into the future of female football rather than waiting to jump on the bandwagon when it does finally develop. So, you know, I'm so proud and honoured to be a part of the Optus team, just based on what they're doing for the future of female football through their gifting initiative.
Yeah, that's really interesting, isn't it? The giving the school kids the free pass, so to speak, to get on and watch the coverage of all 52 games.
Yeah, it is. It's it was a surprise for me that they've come out and done it, but obviously a very good surprise. And Just like when I go back to me growing up, and I didn't even know there was a World Cup because the coverage of a female World Cup, because the coverage wasn't there. So school kids to be able to watch the World Cup, and not just, the important thing is that they're not just watching the Matildas. You need to be watching players from all around the world, from, you know, your Nikita Paris in from England, and Vivian Miedema from the Netherlands. If our young players are watching these players and wanting to develop to be the likes of these, the best players in the world, that they need to be looking at more than just our Matildas. Yes, our Matildas are good, but, you know, we need to have idols in other places in the world as well.
Yeah, and it's worked for other sports, hasn't it? So there's no reason why it can't work for women's football.
Exactly, exactly.
Georgie Yeomandale, we might leave it there. I want to say thank you for talking to us on a sporting discussion, and hopefully we can have a chat again before the end of the World Cup.
Yeah, thanks for having me, and hope to speak to you soon.